Blog Talk Radio.
Trust in your guidance from the depth of your grace, you have reached.
Father God, let your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. Spirit, come have your way. Without you, I am incomplete. And I find you. I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart. Seek you with my whole heart. And I find you. Oh, I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart.
My shepherd, I shall not want. I'm grateful to be here. Jesus is the Son of God, and He's Lord over our lives, and He has all power, heaven and earth, in His hand. He's the Savior of the entire world. He has redeemed us. He has set us free, and He's favored us. And because of his blood, we're joint heirs to the throne of grace. And we're just grateful to be here tonight. As true believers, as followers of Christ, as those that are seeking after wisdom, seeking after greatness, seeking after the plan of God to be revealed to us so that we can do his will in this earth. And for his will to be done in this world through the assignments that he has given us individually and collectively. And so we pray for the church as a whole, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, to just get right, to get right, and for us to just seek his mercy, seek his grace, seek his love and his instructions, so that we can subdue the earth in which we were commanded to do. Thank you for joining us tonight to the TNT edition of PGN. And I'm one half of that T, Terrence.
And I'm the other half of that T, Tanisha. And today is August the 3rd. It's 2022, 7:12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to Prophetic Grace Network. We're excited that you are here. This year is winding down, and the Spirit of God is turning up. And we need to be prepared, and we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to prepare us for these upcoming days, months, and years.
Absolutely. Because God is really sharing his will with us. He's revealing things to us during this time and this moment of really reestablishing who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of living in a society in a time now where Jesus is kind of becoming more and more obsolete,
mm-hmm.
and becoming more and more casual, per se, or just not being put on the proper level and being recognized for the proper authority in which he has, because we've seen so much of ministry is just trying to blend in. Everybody wants to share this term, love, and we all should love each other and get along. But we can not get along and still love one another. Just because one gets along with another doesn't really necessarily mean that you love them, because you could be encouraging bad behavior. You could be encouraging things that are totally in opposition of the word of God in the name of love.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that love conquers all. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 13 real quick. It says, I'm going to read from King James. We're going to 13 and 4. Love is charity, right? So that's the definition of love. It's another word of love. But let me read from my wife's favorite, because it's based on us sharing the word love tonight. Verse 4, this is what love is. You know, whenever we want to know something, whenever we want to establish an answer for something, and we're looking for a way out, we're looking for help, we're looking for that thing that could really provide a way for us, don't get it twisted. It's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we as believers, followers of Christ, we call ourselves Christians, if we are to be these people, we should be believing whom the one we're following says. Nothing should come in and cause divide. Or you'll have a different thought. Well, I don't think that Jesus said that. Well, it's about us knowing what Jesus said. to know him, to love him is to know him. We have to be intimate with him. We don't have to walk around here clueless. God has given us the living word. He inspired men in the earth in whom he spoke to. And they obeyed and they wrote these words down out of obedience and out of the love that they have for the Creator. And so love is what the scripture says. It says love endures with patience. Love endures with patience. You know how many of us don't want to be patient with anything. We don't want to endure anything. We don't want to go through anything. And that's the type of love that the world is telling us we can get it right now. If it hurts, it's not love. If it doesn't feel good, it's not love. If it doesn't go your way, it's not love. But according to the scripture, love endures. Love is going to go through. Some pressure is going to be applied. But guess what? It endures with patience because God is patient. God has given us that grace to have patience, you know, to be patient and wait on him to move, wait on his timing, not to get ahead of him, not to try to want to be God, but allow God to be. You know, that's where we have to be in our lives. It says, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Most of all, love never fails. It never fades nor ends. But as the prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away. But to end on that verse 8, the first part, love never fails. It never fades nor ends. It endures all things. So basically, when you love, Jesus is love. So just what the scripture describe the character of our Savior. Love came to earth. Love sacrificed himself.
Mm-hmm.
Love gave. Love endured.
Mm-hmm.
Being talked about, being lied on, being misunderstood, being taken for granted. Being set up.
Mm-hmm.
Being beaten, being bruised, cut open. Being hung, stretched, and left for dead.
Mm-hmm.
But love says he endures all. So love endured that. And love didn't die to stay there. Love rose. Death couldn't conquer love. So the mission, love never failed. The mission was to sacrifice. The mission was to be dead 3 days and rise again. That's what love did. That's love. That's what true love is. So when we are ready to love like Jesus, then we as believers will begin to see things totally different through the lens of the eyes of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible tells us that, let me go to it because Lord been really wanting me to like get those, read those scriptures. Was it, hold on, God. The Holy Spirit is working. But I'm excited tonight. I mean, like, extremely excited just about the love of God. I mean, ooh.
What said to me what you was talking about, what he went through, mm-hmm. and what the scripture says what love is and how it endures without weakening.
Right.
Because, you know, Jesus didn't endure all that and then say, oh man, I don't feel the same about those people. I had to do all that for them. No, he still loves us just the same, despite everything that he endured and went through on our behalf.
On our behalf.
And didn't switch up how he loves us.
Nope. Didn't do it. Didn't think twice. The flesh, like he had that moment in the garden, you know, where because the flesh is always warring against the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had that moment, which was a good lesson for us to let us know that the flesh will rise up.
Mm-hmm.
But the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing. And the spirit has power over the flesh. But the way the world teaches us to give into our flesh, all that being a free spirit. But the scripture says you've just been disobedient and not wanting to be held accountable for the things that we do. Hold on, I'm pulling up this the actual reading that I want to do. Y'all can go to Ephesians 6 and verse 12, and I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna say Amplified. That's my wife's favorite translation. Mm-hmm. Her favorite translation. So here we are dealing with love, and we know what love is, okay? And then, but another thing love tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but the struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness,
mm-hmm.
against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly supernatural places. So love gives us the game. Love gives us the key. Love gives us the instructions. Love basically gives us the blueprint of what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody's coming at you as we think, don't get it twisted. And because if you are carrying the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is abiding in you, people ain't coming against you. They coming against Jesus. They coming against what you possess. You don't even have to say nothing
mm-hmm.
to people. Jesus said what needed to be said, but most of the time, he would ask you who you say I am.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? What do you think? Because I'm showing you
mm-hmm.
what it is. I'm the living example. I am the living word. The word has been made flesh. And here I am in the flesh, What do you see? What are you being a witness to? And that's what love does. Love's just not going to go along with you and enable you and not give you the truth. Love ain't going to do that. What'd you say? Hold on. It says that we're going back to 1 Corinthians 13. It says love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love ain't telling you something just so it benefits.
Mm-hmm.
When you're telling somebody something out of love, it's for your benefit.
Right.
Us teaching our children right from wrong and giving them instructions and telling them, you know, about Jesus and telling them the importance of having a relationship with the Lord. This ain't self-seeking. This is for them.
Mm-hmm.
Love ain't reminding you what you did. You know, I loaned you that $5 in love. You know, you never came through with that on me. You remember when you gave me that $5? Always bringing it up. That's gone. Do you forgive me or not? Why you keep bringing that up?
And what people don't realize, because see, the Bible is always, we were talking about this earlier, Terrence and I, how God does everything in layers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's telling you that love, let's go exactly where it does not, hold on, does not take into account a wrong endured, right? So basically it's not bringing it up. And so when you're doing that with a person, that should be enough to check you to say, I'm not operating in love. I'm not acting in love by doing that. That's
right.
Not coming from a place of love.
Right.
So it's teaching us not only what love is and giving us the characteristics of God, because God is love, the scripture says,
mm-hmm.
but it should show us when we're not operating in love.
Yeah.
If we're doing the opposite of what the scripture says love is, because we'll do some really mean or nasty things to people in the name of love and say, well, I'm just doing that because it's tough love or because, you know, I love them. No, 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 no. You could love somebody and it'd be genuine and still be not operating in love. You can have a moment where you're not operating in love. So you can love a person and not operate in it. And when you're not operating in love, if you understand and know what love is, then you know what love isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't try to call something what it's not. So if you're doing these things, that's not love. You're not operating in love at that moment, but you can't try to say, oh no, that it is because I know how I feel. No, but love is an action.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are things that are done. You are patient,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't eat patience. You don't trip and stumble.
Right.
Well, it's an action. You are patient.
Right.
You are kind. So that's an action. Love is kind. You don't just, you know, smell kindness. You don't
right.
smell it. It's
that's
an action.
What it is.
You
that's
operate in kindness. In thoughtfulness,
mm-hmm.
to be thoughtful, that's an action. Somebody can do something for you and you'll say, oh wow, that was so thoughtful because they did something that was thoughtful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not jealous. Now we know that to be jealous is to operate, and that's an action, but love is not operating in that action,
no.
right? So it doesn't do that. It's showing you what to refrain from, what actions to refrain from, because it is an action. It's not envious. That's a state of being, right? You don't wear envy. You are envy and operate envy. It does not brag. Bragging certainly is done in an action form, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not proud or arrogance. To be proud, and again, this is an action. You are acting proud. You are acting in arrogance. These are action words, okay? It's not rude. I ain't never heard of somebody being rude that hasn't done something or said something rude. To say something is to, that's an action, to do something that is an action. You can even give a person a rude look, right? But that's an act. It's something that you have to do to be rude or to be considered rude. It's not self-seeking, right? To self-seek, again, is an action. You have to do something mm-hmm. to be self-seeking, and it's showing you that what the action doesn't do of love, it's not self-seeking. It's not provoked, okay? Provocation, and when you're provoked, again, that's something that you act in. You act in provocation, and it's showing you an action that it doesn't partake in. It's not overly sensitive and easily angered. Again, mm-hmm. You have to act in sensitivity and anger. These are things that you do, okay? Mm-hmm. It does not take into account a wrong endured, okay? Because if you're taking something to an account, that means that it is a contributing factor to something that's being done, an action, right? If you're taking it into account. So you can take into account a decision, and a decision leads to an action. So again, all the characteristics of love are action.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a feeling of love for a person, but not be acting in love. So let's stop saying just because we feel a certain way, right? Because we walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say, well, the way I feel supersedes my actions. No, because this is what love is. So if you're doing the opposite, you're not operating in love at that moment, mm-hmm. even though you could very well love that person. So let's stop trying to be like the world and try to label things that are not as if they are just because of how we feel. Come on, somebody. That's what the world does. The world says, oh, I feel like I'm this, even though it doesn't meet the characteristics. And so that's just what it is. False, lies. It's not true. And so, again, God does things in layers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just teaching us, not only teaching us what love is, but if we know what it is, then we know what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are to love, right, we're supposed to love God, right? We got to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. So if we are loving God in ways that are against us, that's not love. We're not operating in love for God. If we treat people, we say we love them, we're not operating in love if we're doing the opposite. Come on, somebody. And it's not easy. Jesus was able to do it because he was perfect. You are flesh and blood. It's not going to just come easy for you. It's going to take some work.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have a slip and go off on somebody doesn't mean, oh, I just don't love them. No, you had a human moment. But you say, you know what? I wasn't showing the characteristics of love. That was a flesh thing because I can't be hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's either one or the other. So at that moment, I was not operating in love. So where was that coming from? Let me dig deeper. Let me dig that root out. See, people get it twisted, and they think just because they do something that they're not supposed to be doing, that it means that you just throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's a learning opportunity. This is how you sharpen yourself. This is putting the pressure on yourself. This is putting the heat on yourself to make you better. It doesn't mean that you're some fraud or you're some phony or some hypocrite. That's the world says, oh, you're a hypocrite. You're supposed to be a Christian and you did this. I'm a human. I'm still going to be a believer. Period.
Yeah, and they're really, they're doing, and in doing that, that's the power of us taking the responsibility to seek and find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we seek after God, you know, the Bible talks about that he'll draw nigh to us. And God leans in to hear us. He desires the relationship. He desires to help you. That's what he is, you know. And so that's why when Jesus left, he said, look, I ain't gonna leave you comfortless. I'm gonna give you the Holy Spirit, which in whom he called the Comforter,
mm-hmm.
the same Spirit that rose here from the dead is the Spirit that we have in us right now. He said, greater works we will do because we had not seen but yet believe. Why would Jesus say greater works we would do? You know, so it's like the more difficult the time, the greater the work has to be. And we are in the days of Noah. we're in this anything goes society. But we have to study. We have to take that account for ourselves to seek the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like my wife said, then we won't be out here looking stupid, really. And doing foolish things. Because we are seekers. God calls us, you know, to be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, my lamp that we have lamps in our room with light bulbs in them. And just say the lamp is you, the physical body, and the light bulb is your spirit. Right, but you have to plug in to the power source,
mm-hmm,
in order for that light to turn on. So in order for us to know who we are, one must first know whose we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know who we belong to. The world has a great understanding of it. They understand the power behind the name and it having the name, which is the brand, and how you promote your brand,
mm-hmm,
and present your brand determines whether you'll be a luxury item or just a little commodity. Whether you be sold at Neiman Marcus or what's one of the other top stores?
Bloomingdale's
or Family Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all still have a place. It's all still merchandise, but because of the name, it is sold in a different environment. It is talked about in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's respected by the name. And so when we know whose we are, Jesus says that we are joint heirs to the throne of grace.
Mm.
We can go to God boldly. He said, come boldly to him. Because when God sees us, he sees the blood. He sees his son on us. Jesus is advocating on our behalf. The real riches are not the riches of this world. The scripture teaches us that eyes haven't seen, nor ears have ears heard, what good things that are in store for us. We have to truly understand whose we are and what we are entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at your job, depending on your level, determines your level of clearance or access to certain things that the company has,
mm-hmm,
based on your access or your prestige or whatever level you are. You know, the world understands that, and we as believers have to understand that and put that in spiritual terms as well. The Bible tells us that we are in this world, but not of it. The Bible says that we are set apart from it. The Bible tells us that we are to pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, we have to know what's going on in heaven. We have to know what's available for us. That has to be vivid. We have to know that healing is available to us. Therefore, we won't be running to the doctor every week because we'll be attuned to the Spirit. The Spirit will tell us what to eat, tell us how to maintain our bodies. And a lot of times we think about it just a food thing, but a lot of it is spiritual because our minds are so polluted. Our minds are congested and clogged up Our minds are sick, mm-hmm. which then resonates through our natural body. You carrying burdens and weight of other people's burdens and weights that they bring into your life. You are taking it on, mm-hmm. and wondering why you can't sleep at night. Wondering why your blood pressure high. Wonder why food makes you sick. Wonder why your hair falling out. Your skin ain't clear. Wonder why you can't breathe. And we be thinking a lot of times that it's just physical.
Mm-hmm.
No, but the spiritual things affect the physical. Everything that's physical first started in the spirit. Everything comes from within, out. We were an idea. God said he knew us before we was even formed in our mother's womb. God had already named us. God knows everything about us before we were put in this earth suit. Mm-hmm. Before we was put in this dispensation, this time frame, this place. God already knew that about us. How wonderful is this?
Mm-hmm.
How amazing is this? My wife got her hand up. I'm going to let her go ahead.
What you were just saying, that a lot of the times people are dealing with stuff and they think it's all physical, not realizing that it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. This is a proof. This is proof of it. If we go to Matthew 11:30, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says, this is in red. So this is Jesus Christ speaking, our Lord and Savior. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light.
Absolutely.
That means that there's weight to it. There's weight to burdens and there's weight to yokes. So where would you carry it if it's not physical? If
right.
if his yoke, if he's the spirit, we have to worship him in spirit and truth. And everything is spiritual that we deal with the Lord, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you don't show up at our doorstep and deliver a package to us. Everything mm-hmm. is done through the Spirit. The way
mm-hmm.
he speaks to us, the way he connects, it's all spiritual.
All spiritual.
But if he's saying that his yoke is easy to bear and his burden is light, why is he putting weight on something that's spiritual?
Mm-hmm.
Because it can carry weight when it translates into the physical.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It will translate into physical as weight. Even your spirit has
mm-hmm.
weight to it, because if you study doctors who study death, and I can't remember what they're called, but there's a name for everything. But when they study, no matter a person's gender, no matter their race, no matter their weight, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
they study and they have come to the conclusion. These are regular scientists, doctors, not believers. So this is science saying that when people die, they lose the same amount of weight because the spirit has weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if your spirit itself has weight and your body loses weight when you die, and people could try to say, oh, it's because when you die, you expel all your fluids and all that. But everybody's got the same amount of fluids in them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody could have had 42 liters of Coke before they died, and somebody else could have been dehydrated, but yet they're still losing the same amount of weight upon death.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spirit has weight. So if the spirit has weight, that means the spiritual things that you're taking in have weight. And if it's weighing into your body, just like anything else in your body is out of whack, it causes physical changes in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Even regular body weight, right, fat that's in your actual flesh only, causes disturbances to your other, to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You just having weight, and it could cause, you know, maybe you wake up now and your arm is just creaking like an old, you know, hardwood floor, or your knees be popping, or your back is hurting because it's carrying, it's overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing can happen in the spiritual. If you're carrying on, like Terrence said, you're taking on other people's burdens and all this kind of stuff, and you're carrying that, it's going to translate into your body because your body is feeling that extra weight within it, even though it's not coming from fat,
mm-hmm.
because your spirit's being passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So don't dismiss that. You know, that's why we're always going to the doctor. Sometimes you go to the doctor and they like, ain't nothing wrong with you. They can't figure it out because it's not, the core of it and the seed is not coming from the physical. It's coming from the spiritual. I had that happen with me before. I was as sick as a dog. Very young. I was early 20s. The blood pressure out of control, blacking out, insomnia. Just, I couldn't remember things. It was terrible. They ran all sorts of tests. They was telling me, oh, sounds like based on them symptoms, you got a tumor. This, I get MRIs, CAT scans. All this, and they're like, yeah, we can't figure out nothing wrong with you, like no cause of it, even though we do see like your blood pressure is through the roof and all this other stuff. You're not overweight. You're young. We don't know what it is. We're going to send you to a psychiatrist. And they did. And the minute I went there, day one, he said, you are stressed. And it was coming from my job. And I was dealing with some other stuff in my family. My grandfather at the time was dying in the hospital. He ended up not dying at that particular time, but they were telling us he was going to die. So I had all the stuff that was going on, but it was mainly my job, a job that I was not willing to let go. But God had already told me that he wanted me to quit that job and move here to Texas. And I was holding on for dear life. I mean, I had a G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip on that job. And when the doctor took me out off that job, within 2 weeks, all of the symptoms reversed. All of them. Because that stress was putting so much weight in my spirit, it was causing my body to have a physical reaction. Do not overlook what you're taking in spiritually. And that's why we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we have to be asking. And there's nothing wrong with doctors. I love doctors. I love medical science, because for me and to me, medical science backs up God. It proves God to be true. It proves his word true. A lot of people pit science against God, but God created science. God created science. But science is almost like hieroglyphics, where it can be, you have to interpret it correctly. Because now you've got mad scientists and rogue scientists that want to make it whatever they want it to be. You know, but if you're true to the science and you're true to facts, science actually backs up of God. Science proves that God is real, not that he's not real. So science and God I love science. But so not to say don't go to doctors or anything like that, but run to God before you run to any human. And ask God, what is it that I need to do? Now, of course, if there's some sort of medical emergency, you have signs of a heart attack or stroke or something like that, yeah, call it 911. It's just operating in wisdom. But you still have to be asking for your day-to-day health and keeping yourself in tip-top condition. You need to be asking the Holy Spirit to examine your body, examine your eating habits, your thought patterns, your daily habits, because you want to be in tip-top shape, and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to eat and then yield to it. Don't say, I'm not getting rid of my smothered pork chops. If the Holy Spirit tells you to stop eating smothered pork chops, stop eating smothered pork chops. If the Holy Spirit says to eat a salad or veggies daily and increase your water, do just that. A lot of people are jacked up because they don't have enough water, truth be told. Terrence is the water king. It don't matter what's going on with a person. First thing he's going to ask is, what is your water intake? What's your water looking like? Because a lot of people just don't like to drink water for whatever reason. So you need to be going to God, asking him how to take care of your body. And God, you know, can use how he can teach you however he wants to teach you. He could use doctors, you know, to get your checkup or whatever. Or sometimes he don't. I know people that haven't been to doctors in years. I know Randy talked about that he hasn't been to doctors in years because God always is directing him on what he needs to do. But you need to be asking God what's going on with you spiritually too, because it will throw your physical body out of whack. It's not enough to just be working out, eating. You could be in tip-top condition. When I was jacked up was when I was in one of my most fit times of life. So there was no physical reason for my body to have been shutting down and being jacked up. It wasn't age. I say if I was advanced in age, the memory lapses and all that would have made sense, and some of the other symptoms, but there was nothing that could be seen right away as to what the reason was, which is why the doctors kept running different tests on me, because they couldn't look at me and say, oh, well, look at you. You're 100 pounds overweight. No, I was in perfect weight, young, you know, worked out, was active, all that. There was nothing going on. Wasn't using drugs, don't drink, none of that. So they couldn't figure it out. And even after running all the tests, they said, we don't know what's wrong. It's got to be something mental. It's got to be something else going on. Go see a psychiatrist to figure it out. And day one, he said, you're stressed. So take care of your mental health, and if you don't know what's going on with you and you don't know that you're packing things on, because people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Sometimes you don't realize that you're carrying other people's burdens and concerns. You don't even realize that you're doing it. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you day to day. You need him. You need him every day, not just when things are falling apart. You need him when you wake up and the birds are chirping and it seems like it's a great day. You always need to be calling upon the Spirit of God for help and to keep you balanced in where you need to be in every area of your life, not just your physical body, but your mental, right? You're psychological. You might be dealing with some past hurts and hangups. You got to just be open for God to come in and do a work in you, because we are a continuous work in progress. You don't wake up on a random Tuesday and you just got it all together. Until the death or rapture, you're going to be working on you. But you got to do your part too.
You got to do your part. We definitely have to start holding ourselves accountable for what's going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Holding ourselves accountable. It's not about trying times not coming. And the Bible tells us that we're going to suffer
mm-hmm.
for His name's sake. What we have to do is learn how to suffer. A lot of us suffer panically. We be panicking.
Oh, yeah.
But we need to suffer we need to learn to suffer with patience.
I have done that.
Yeah. And enduring something is a suffering.
It
you
is.
Know? But then He tells us to have patience. You know, that it's gonna bring forth that it's gonna birth patience as long as we are enduring and suffering with Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because that's love.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have all the hope in the world. We can have all the faith in the world. It's like the scriptures teach about it. There's hope, there's faith, there's love. And He says the greatest of these three is love. All of them are necessary, but the greatest is love, to love yourself, to love one another, because love conquers all.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why, because when you know how to love, you know how to have hope.
Mm.
When you know how to love, you know how to nurture your faith and what to put faith in. You have your faith in love. Jesus taught us to have faith in God. God is love. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, hearers and doers of His holy word. See, what we're going to start doing is something different. God is shifting some things around that I do know. And we've been yielded, but I just know God is doing something greater. And He's really pushing us to share the importance of salvation, the importance of knowing who Jesus is and making Jesus Lord of your life and going through your issues with Jesus. Don't discount Jesus. Don't listen to all these other religions and all these other belief systems. If they're not saying that Jesus is the Son of God, if they're not saying that Jesus walked this earth, gave His life, was sacrificed. See, the thing is, you get some of them, they want to talk about that was a murder. They murdered Christ.
Mm-hmm.
A sacrifice is given.
Mm-hmm.
He came to be sacrificed. A murder is untimely, or you taking something without permission.
Yeah.
But Jesus gave permission. He said, no man can take my life except I lay it down. So this is the Lamb of God, which was slain. So therefore, we ain't got to go with all these rituals anymore. We ain't got to go talk to no priest. We ain't got to go slaughter no sheep, no calves. We don't have to do none of that no more. Nothing. The victory has already been won. Your salvation has already been sealed. But it comes down to, do you believe it? Do we believe it? How do we know it? How do we feed our belief? We've got to read the Word of God. You've got to read and study the Word of God. You have to spend time with God.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for everything. Is the time you spend worrying about a bill? Is the time you couldn't put in on a few scriptures? The time that you're worrying about what this doctor gonna tell you? Is the time that you could be praying and getting in the scriptures and seeing what God wants to share with you, what the Holy Spirit wants to share with you? Because it very well could be your time to leave here. And us as believers should be excited.
Yeah, we always think God wants us to be here forever, but the Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die.
Right. We should be excited
about
it. We're
thinking that that's like,
right,
never in God's will, and sometimes it is your time. Now,
right.
Yeah, there could be untimely things.
Absolutely.
It could be whether we contributed to it, right, or being disobedient or just not taking care of ourselves or whatever the case may be, or, you know.
In fact.
There could be a billions of factors.
Mm-hmm.
But there, sometimes it is your time.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you've done the work, and now you're going to be rewarded. Death is not a punishment for those who serve Christ.
I look at death just like being born. It's going to happen. One day I knew I was here. Then I had to be taught about how I came.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been taught through the Word of God that I'm going to leave too. Ain't nothing I can do about that to stop it.
Nope. Just do the work that God has assigned you to do while you're here.
That's gonna happen. So I'm not worried about this dying. But the focus is that I'm going to die in Christ. I'm not going to die without Jesus being Lord in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week, when you get opportunities, you know, pray and ask God to show you how to be used to lead people to him for soul salvation. Because he'll do all the work. The work has already been done. But it's about the people choosing him and making their connection for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But just like John the Baptist said, he preparing the way, you know, of the Lord. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God has come. And so here we are, ambassadors for Christ. And we need to take our roles seriously. We need to really only say what the Lord is saying. Our opinions don't matter. What you think really doesn't matter. But what did he say? That's what matters. And that should be our focus. You got anything else?
Amen. Just to add to that, about our opinions not mattering, and really it's what he said that matters. When we go to, I'm going to go to Book of Matthew. I was already there, but let me just go back there. Hold on. Have patience with me. Love me.
You should be ready.
Matthew 4:3. Let's talk about to add to Terrence's point. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus replied, "It is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And the devil took him into the holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle, highest point of the temple, and he said mockingly to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to serve, care for, protect, and watch over you, and they will lift you up on their hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written and forever remains written, you shall not test the Lord your God." Now, when the devil was sitting there tempting him, he didn't say it is my opinion or I think. He said what was written, period.
Mm-hmm.
He just said what was written.
Mm-hmm. It is written.
That's what we do. We operate in what's written. That's how you're going to overcome the obstacle. Because even what the first thing here, when Jesus replied, is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This is how you're going to live. This is what you're going to live on. You're going to live on these, on the word.
Right.
On every word that comes out of the mouth of God, the written word and the spoken word.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to live on. Not just what you're going to eat. You're going to live on that. So it's good for you to know what you're living on.
Every
word.
Every word.
That's what matters. Is what God, what does God say?
That's a real confidence builder. And that should take any believer out of the slump. And the pressure has been removed at that point. Like, you ain't got to think about it. All you got to do is read it, know what it says, and put your faith in it.
Mm-hmm. And operate in it.
And operate in it.
Period. Because you got to do your part, too. Because you got, like the word says, you can't just be hearers of the word. You got to be doers of the word, too. Do what it says.
Right.
So, because I know the word of God says this. Okay, but you don't do it. So do you believe it?
Yeah. And, you know, however God deals with you, where you are on your level, you might be a baby to it. You might be on some milk right now.
Mm-hmm.
You might lack understanding in areas, but the key to it is just being consistent. Continue to seek Him. Be consistent in your seeking. Be consistent in your seeking. And go through your suffering, your enduring, your growing phase. That will give us the patience. That's going to bring about the patience that we need to bear witness to the work that God has done in all of us. And we as believers, we need to sharpen one another. We need to be patient with each other.
We need to love each other.
And that's going to come through. It goes right back to love. It goes right back to love. Yeah, we get passionate about it. I even get mad sometimes about some things, you know. That's because I am passionate about it. But God always reminds me, like, man, look, I got this. I got this. I don't need you, like, getting in the way.
Right.
I just need you to prepare the way.
Mm-hmm.
And get out the way.
Right.
After you prepare, you get like after you're not constantly cooking the meal once you prepare it.
Uh-huh.
The meal has been prepared. And you're cooking the food while people are eating it. No, it's been prepared. Go sit down.
Right.
And watch these folks die. You know? Go on and watch them eat. My dad used to always say, wash the plate. That plate going to tell you whether it was good or not. And Jesus said, oh, taste and see. Come on, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
We need to taste Him. We need to consume the word.
Yeah.
We need to have a hearty appetite for the word of God. Think about your favorite restaurant, your favorite food. Or whatever it is, your favorite beverage is something that you really like. Whether it be shopping or whatever, I don't care. But whatever it is that you so desire, take that little small measure and put that little effort into seeking what God wants you to do while you're here during the time that He has us here. Because we're all here temporarily. And we all have a role to play here in the body of Christ. So let's do our part. God is with us always. Anybody ready to have some comments? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, we just thank You for Your power. We just thank You for Your love, Lord. We thank You for opening the door of understanding, opening the door for the opportunity that You've given us to recognize who You are and to seek You more, to get the answers that we need to the problems that exist here in this earth, Father God. You are the answer. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. And Lord, we believe this.
Mm-hmm.
We stand on you, Father God. It's you in whom we are building our lives, because you are the chief cornerstone. You are the rock, the solid rock in which we stand. And Lord, we're just so grateful. Grateful for the life that you have provided us with. And you know our issues. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the courage to be able to talk to you about them. Some of us don't want to open up and be real with ourselves about our shortcomings. Some of us operate in really trying to find fault in someone else to make us feel better about our own. So, Father, we just come against this spirit tonight, to where we can walk in truth and that we can walk in honesty, which is love. We can be honest with ourselves. We have to love first, learn to love ourselves. Teach us how to love us, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
You are the example. Give us the desire and the appetite to consume you, for you are the living word, to want your word, to want to load up on the protection that we need, to load up on the defense that we need, the offense that we need. We just want to load up on you, because without you, we are nothing. Without you, we're lost. But it's because of you, we've been found. Because of you, we have hope. Because of you, we can spend eternity and we can live forever and ever in paradise. So, Lord, we thank you for revealing to us our assignments and making it clear our next steps here in this earth. And give us the heartfelt desire of what it really means, of how what salvation means to you, what it really means to love. Teach us, oh God. We decrease as you increase. Use us to speak to your people as we connect tonight, and we fill it in the blood of Jesus. Amen.
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 First caller here is 919-292. Who are we speaking to?
Hello, this is Shaquella from North Carolina.
What's up, Shaquella? Hey, Shaquella, how are you tonight?
I am thankful, grateful. I cannot complain at all. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Wonderful.
That's good.
Man, it's been a minute since I heard you. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for you.
Okay.
Lord, we thank you for Shaquella tonight, Lord. We thank you for the running over. It's not. I'm hearing rapture. Hold on. The running over in the I'm just hearing the word rapture. You know, like the Bible talks about, us being, some of us being raptured, being caught up. Caught up with the Lord, and a lot of us look at it as death, but it's not. You know, when being raptured, it's like you're gonna have like this overwhelming emotion, like a manifestation of like a passion, a desire, you know, you being overwhelmed, like running over in delight. You know, the Bible says we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. So it's yes, that's what it is. God is calling you to be caught up in Him. If you're gonna be caught in anything, be caught up in Him. Be caught up in knowing what He says. Be caught up in doing it the way God wants it done. You know, being so caught up to where you begin to think about walking on water, like you know that you could if God so commanded you to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not about, you know, the devil always want God like to prove it. If you can, like, you don't have to tempt God like that. God can do whatever He want to do. But I know if He wanted to do it, He would.
Yeah.
If he wanted it to happen, I have the faith to know that it could. If He so desired for it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to treat God like a magician. And that's what the world tries to do. You either believe that He is or you don't. Or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God just saying for you to just to stand. Just to stand. And by you standing, you're just going to be overwhelmed in his existence, and just truly being caught up in knowing like the truth, like a different level of power of God. None of us would, I don't think we could ever fathom how powerful He is. We can't even look on Him. You know,
yeah.
How powerful is that?
Mm.
And so, for us to have a level of what we think power is, and us being overwhelmed and caught up in knowing that God can do whatever. You know, if you're sick, you know somebody. I know that God could heal you right now.
Yeah.
If it's His will, I know that. He can recover you right now, and you can get up. You can see bones come together. Joints and cells come back alive. He's done it. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I know He can do it. If He wanted to, if it was in His will for that to happen right now. Does He have to do it to prove it to me? No, I just know He can. And I see that's what God has you at. That's where he's building you to move further and further in Him. We're just walking in full assurance that God can and God is. God can and God is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about if He can. It's all about can you believe it? Will you believe it? Whether He did it or not. Whether He does it or not, I know. And you'll find satisfaction in it. And you'll find peace in that in Jesus' name. That's what I got.
Well, we just thank you right now for Shaquilla, Lord Jesus. Thank you that for her understanding that when you speak things, that's just what it is. The scripture you gave me for you is we're going to go into Psalm 104:9. This is out of Amplified. It says, you set a boundary for the waters that they may not cross over, so that they will not return to cover the earth. That's how powerful the word of God is, that when we see the separation of land and sea, it's because God told it where its boundary was.
Mm-hmm.
God told you, you set a boundary for the waters that they may not cross over, so that they will not return to cover the earth. This is the power of the word of God. Mm. And God wants you to understand the power of his word. That everything that is, that we see in this earth, is a testimony to his wonders, mm-hmm, and his powers, and his abilities. The reason why the sun rises and sets every day is because he told it to.
Mm-hmm.
So what he says about you and in your life is going to happen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Because sometimes it looks like I'm from a beach city. And sometimes it would look like that water was going to come on the beach because of when the waves would hit, it looked like it was going to cover, but it would always stop at a certain point. Always. This is something I observe not as a believer, but just understanding the environment and the world that God had me in, and the city God had me in. But I knew that no matter how strong the waves were coming, that water could only get to a certain point on the beach itself. So where people have like their, you know, that's how people determine what parts you can, you know, have your barbecues and set up your umbrellas, because you can hang your hat on the fact that you knew that water wasn't going to get that far. And why? Because God told that water it couldn't get that far. So understand the power of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
That even when it looks like, oh, I don't know this time, I want to move our umbrella because look, that water coming strong. It's not because God told it can't. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. Whatever God says, it has power. The power is in God's words, not in what things look like. People don't possess no type of power unless you give it to them. Circumstances don't possess power unless you give it to them, give it to it. God has the power. So you got to dismiss what it's looking like. You got to dismiss what they say or whoever don't like it or whoever's in charge and say, oh, I don't like her. I would never promote her. I would never put her. No, who cares? If God said I'm going to be promoted, I'm going to be promoted.
Absolutely.
If God said I'm going to move to this city that's extremely expensive and on the list of most expensive cities in America and I don't have the income to match it, I'm going to move there and be successful. Because what God says is what's going to happen. God's word determines. Like we just read in Matthew, that we don't live by bread alone, but by what God has spoken. That's what we live on.
Mm-hmm.
That's life for us. That's life. People, there's a saying that something is giving me life. No, God's word is what gives you life.
Right.
God
gives you life. God
gives you life, and his word continues to give you life. But we have the ability to give things life that were already dead and in the grave. We have kicked over the headstone, got a shovel, dug it up, and making it perform and giving it life. And that thing is a dead thing. It's a dead issue. It's a dead relationship. It's a dead reasoning. It's all that we be having dead things that we give life. We don't have no real life. We be puppeting things that are already dead to appear real and alive, and then we operate as if it is. And that issue is dead. When God deads it, it's dead. Period. Because what God says is what's life. So if something is coming against you that's the opposite of what God is speaking, and Jesus said himself that we don't live on bread alone, but out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, then that means that something is going against what God has said, and that thing is not alive. It's dead. It's a dead issue. So imagine something trying to come after you that's dead, a corpse. What's it going to do? It literally has no life unless you give it life. And even that's a cave. It's not real. So whatever's coming against you, whatever's trying to attack you, and it's the opposite of what God spoke, that thing is dead. Laugh at it. It is literally bones trying to attack you. Your bones. What you going to do? You don't have life. You don't have any dominion. When things don't have life, this is why the devil and his demons are out of order, because they don't possess bodies. And people are given the dominion. Not them. They're already dead. And so when situations try to come, they ain't got no dominion, ain't got no power, it's a dead issue. It's just appearing. It's trying to pretend to be alive and pretend to be real. It's like the boogeyman. It's like somebody told you the boogeyman gonna get you. That's not real. And it's the same thing with circumstances, situations. It's not real. It's not alive. What God speaks, that's what's alive. And his words have so much power that every day the sun rises and the sun sets. And if you go to the beach and you observe that water, you go see that water is not going to cross a certain point because God told it to, because his word says it. You set a boundary for the waters that they may not cross over, that they will not return to cover the earth. That's power. Lord, we thank you for Shaquayla. We thank you, Father God, for understanding the might and power of your words and knowing that whatever you speak is life. And so when the opposite tries to come knocking at the door, that's death. It's not real. It's a smoke screen. It's a magic show. It's not what it appears to be. It's in costume. It's acting. And Lord, help her not to give it life. Let it stay in the grave. Let it be what it is, and not add to it, because what is going to always show what it is. And to leave it at what it is and not to try to add to it and make it something else. Don't try to mix something in it to now make it something different than what it was. Let it be what it is, something dead that won't produce, like a soil that has no, it's not fertile, so nothing will take. Help her to have the mindset to see when that's what things are, not try to put seed in infertile soil, to label it what it is and to know that your words is the good ground and to operate on what you tell it to do, no matter what, who don't like it, who said they're going to stop it, no, none of that. That doesn't matter. People don't have no power because your word says no weapon formed against us will prosper. And sometimes the people are the weapons. And when they try to come against us and it's in direct opposition of your will and the words that you have spoken in our lives, they will not prosper. And we just pray that they would get an understanding of who you are and get on the right track. That's all we do with them, but we don't give them even no power, no life. Help her to be bold in your word, Father God, and to stand firm on it. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That was so powerful. That is so amazing.
Yeah, it really is. He wants you to know that.
Yep, and it's just walking. He is amazing. That's amazing to me that the water can't go where God told it can't go. Everything has to obey God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything. So how much more should we obey God? If the water obeys God, how much more should we obey God?
It's just that's trust. True.
That's all we got to do is just trust him no matter what. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little shaky. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. That's where the hope comes in and the endurance.
Yeah.
That endurance comes in because sometimes God will say, oh, no, I don't want you to do this. And then circumstance will come up and you're like, wait a minute, maybe I need to do that because if I do that, that'll help. And no, you got to just endure and trust God because that's where you're in. Of just really trusting God and doing nothing but trusting. He's building your endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard season. I know personally. That's sometimes a rough season where you want to put your hand to the plow and he's like, do nothing. Just trust me. Watch me. Watch what I do. Like he told Moses, go to Egypt and tell the Pharaoh to do this and you're going to see my wonders. You're going to see it. Moses didn't do that. You think Moses went to the pet shop and said, give me all the locusts that you got, and I'm going to unleash them? He didn't do nothing but sit back and watch God do what he said he was going to do. That man did not go around poisoning all the cows and cattle. God did that. That man did not say, everybody get something to make the sky black, and everybody cut your arm and put some blood in the Nile so that we could get the hope. He didn't do anything. He just sat back and did what God and watch God do what he said he was going to do. God told him, you're going to see my wonders. He spoke what he needed to spoke, and when Pharaoh got wild up and mad and started talking about we're going to double work and do all this extra, he could have tried to do something, but no, he didn't do nothing. He let God take care of it. He let God make the situation what it was going to be, which was the liberation of the children of Israel. Sometimes all you got to do is just speak and sit back But we be feeling like, well, God commanded me to do it. I'm the one that's supposed to free him. So there's something I got to do. I'm going to go. We're going to go with our pitchforks and our torches, and we're going to demand to go, and we're going to start burning down that. No, you ain't got to do nothing. Say what God said you're going to do when he said put the blood on the doorpost, put the blood on the doorpost, and do nothing. Them folks went to sleep. Them folks went to sleep. They put the blood on the doorpost and went to sleep and woke up to the screams and cries of the Egyptians because the angel of death had came in and did what he did. They didn't go around with machetes killing them firstborn. God did what he does. And so when you're in that season of do nothing but endure, you got to sit back, and that's when you're going to really see God work. You're going to really see the hand of God at work because you didn't do nothing. And it's one thing to not do nothing, but it's another thing when you don't do nothing and you know what can be done. And you know what can alleviate. So it's one thing when you're ignorant. You're like, I don't know what to do. Because that's hard, too. When you're like, Lord, do something because I don't know what to do. And then God steps in. But it's another thing when you're like, I could do this and it could produce that. And I know cause and effect. So if I do this, that will happen. And God says, no, don't do that. And you're like, but I know if I do that, then this will happen. And that'll alleviate. That'll fix it. And he's like, nope, I'll take care of it. Like, but the clock is ticking, Lord. If it's not done by 5 o'clock, it's 4:58. And he's like, don't do nothing. I'll take care of it. That's when it's really hard. That's really when your faith is put to the test because you know what can be done by your little human hands. But God will take care of it everywhere. So just trust God's word. And all the other stuff that's coming against it is dead. Look at it like a corpse. That's it. And just let God do what he does, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to do what he does. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. Even if he hasn't personally told you what he's going to do, one thing that you do know is he's going to work it all out for your good, and that all of his plans for you are for an effective end for your good, that you know that. So that's what you trust. You move when he says to move, and you do nothing when he says to do nothing. And you sit back and you watch. And the growth that you're going to experience is going to be tremendous. Because it's steps. It's steps. We be wanting the giant, but we got to be able to handle the tiny. So he's leveling you up so that the next time you're in that situation, your faith, you know, is so great, you can believe for bigger. And then the next time, you'll be believing for even bigger than that. And so on and so forth. So this is a buildup for what he has for you, because he'll tell you where you're going to go, but then you don't know all the different steps and the levels it takes to get to that point.
That's true.
Yeah. Keep trusting God. He's got great things in store for you. Just endure. That's it. Endure.
Amen. Wow. It's like y'all were in the room when I was formation to what God has already been telling me. So I thank God for you both. I just thank God.
Amen. Thank God for you as well.
Yes, we do. We thank God for your life. We thank God for your faithfulness to him and his kingdom.
Amen.
Well, we're gonna have to get off of here because we got to clear it off for Randy. But God does everything, you know, deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
It's all deliberate. And so we thank you all for joining us tonight. Tanisha's going to say a collective prayer with everybody. We're going to clear it up for Randy to get on so we can get in line.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come before you. Together, we're all touching and agreeing for one another.
Yes.
That we, Lord, help us to be the best that you created us to be, to not compare ourselves to others, but to be the best of ourselves as individuals. And Father God, we just pray for direction and guidance that we will be in tune to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yes.
So that we can make righteous steps. Righteous steps. Because we are the righteousness of you, Father God. And we want to make righteous steps. We don't want to make fear-based steps. We don't want to make emotional steps. We want to make righteous steps and be bold in our faith, Father God. And I speak healing in your people, healing in their bodies, healing in their minds, healing in their thinking.
Yes.
First and foremost, it starts in the thoughts. Heal our minds, Father God. reveal to us the ways, whether they have been picked up along our life journey or taught to us, but show us the error of our thinking, Father God.
Yes.
And give us the obedience to identify. Sometimes it's hard to say, I've been thinking wrong about this for 20 years or 30 years. Help us to not walk in that pride. Help us to be humble enough to say, I was wrong, but I don't have to be anymore. I'm going to start operating now in truth. I thought that was true, and it wasn't, and I come out of that. Help us to come out of wrong ways of thinking, wrong doctrines, wrong understandings, wrong ways of viewing things, so that we can be set free, Father God, and so that our minds can be clear and we can be able to receive all that you have for us. Because wrong thinking and doctrines, it just blocks. It's a blockage. And so I speak against all blockages, whether they be mental in the body. I speak healing in your body for blockages right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak healing against those blockages right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak healing against mental blockages that cause the mind to try to sabotage and to try to go against and to be paranoid against the word of God. I speak against those blockages right now, and that you will walk in mental health and clarity in Jesus' mighty name, and that you will walk in peace, the peace of God, and that you would learn and operate in how to cast down those thoughts that try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, and that you will operate in the knowledge of God. And I speak a hunger and thirst for your word over your people right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let us taste and see that you are good, Father God. Let us thirst for your word. Let us know more and more about the character of who you are as we grow in intimacy with you through reading our word and through prayer, spending time with you, Father God. Come against addictions right now in Jesus' mighty name. Addictions of alcohol, porn, of internet usage, of attention, of gossip, or anything that's hindering us, Father God, from being the best of who we are. I just break that spirit of addiction right now in Jesus' mighty name. I break the spirit of poverty over your people so that we may prosper in every area of our life in Jesus' mighty name. I speak prosperity over your people in every area of their life, and let them walk in health, wealthy health.
Yes.
Wealthy health, Father God. We want to be healthy in every area of our lives, not just our bodies and our minds, but even our spiritual lives. We want to be healthy. Help us to operate in that and help us to be that, Father God. Lord, we just love you and honor you. I pray for even the financial breakthroughs that your people need, and that they would trust you, Father God, that they would trust you, Lord, with their finances, that they would trust you with their children, that they would trust you with their businesses, that they would trust you with their lives. Really trust you. Not just say, I trust God and can't sleep, but to really trust you.
Yes.
Help us to trust you, Father God. We just love and honor you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Be sure to call back. 845, hit 1, get into the queue. Randy has been on fire. And he tends to pray over everybody on Wednesday nights. We love you. We're always praying for you. And until next time,
good night.
Good night.